Have you integrity or will God spit you out? That's the title of the sermon this morning. The biblical text about lukewarm and God spitting you out actually comes from Revelation. But today we're talking about John. So why do I bring this up? Well, hopefully, by the end of the sermon, I'll be able to illustrate that clearly. So you have to pay attention, okay? Based on the title of the sermon, I also want to clarify what it means to be defined with integrity. Oxford Dictionary says that integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, or a state of being whole or complete and undivided. Webster's Dictionary says integrity is the firm adherence to a code of especially moral or artistic values, incorruptible, or an unimpaired condition or state of being whole or complete. Do you notice that the whole or complete is in both of those things? That's not an accident. So now let's talk about today's text in that light. Jesus was hanging out at Galilee, but he wasn't hanging out idly. He was meeting people, preaching the word and healing as he had always done. Galilee was quite far north of Jerusalem, about 62 miles in our English miles, where the religious leaders were fervently seeking him out to kill him. By now, they were already angry with him, and they wanted to kill him. He was a great threat to all that they knew about religion. And religion was more important than having that intimate relationship with Jesus. Historically, the Passover occurred in the spring, but now it was the fall. In the fall was the Feast of Tabernacles. This was a time when the Jews were required to return to Jerusalem with their family and set up a booth, like a tent or a temporary structure. This was to celebrate the time of wandering in the desert, in tents. Living in tents as a reminder for all that God had done for them coming out of that exile. The Jewish leaders knew all the God-fearing Jews would be in Jerusalem, so they carefully watched for Jesus to appear. Jesus, you see, was controversial. He was controversial then, and he's controversial now. Many people had seen or heard of Jesus. Some people talked about him being a good man, moral and honest. Other people talked about him leading people astray from the religion of the day. But all the people feared talking about Jesus too openly. And they were fearful because they could be expelled from the temple. You see, to a Jew, their family life, their friendships, their entire network was related to the temple or synagogue. In one of the saddest ironies in verses 3 through 5, Jesus' own brothers saw him simply as Mary's favored son and not the Messiah. In fact, they began to do what brothers do, and they began to tease him. They encouraged him to go to Judea with them. In a Robin paraphrase, they wanted to show him to show off. Go on, go back to Judea. Do your miracle thing. Do your miracles and your healings. You show them. Show them what you can do. Put on the Jesus show a little bit. And then they jabbed him some more and said, nobody who wants to be a public figure does so in secret. So since you're doing these things, show yourself to the world. Well, Jesus never said, I want to be a public figure. He didn't come that way. Rather, he came to call people to himself and then to die a horrible death for each and every one of our sins. His brothers did not yet believe in Jesus as the Messiah, but we know that from the Bible later on, that some of his brothers would come to faith in him and become church leaders but it wasn't until after his death. Another ironic thing is that today we have more information than Jesus' brothers had. We have historical information, we have the written word of God, we have years of miracles and healings that have happened in our life and in others as a result of faith in God. And yet many today do not believe, or believe as nominal Christians who pull out that Jesus card on Sundays and live their life just as any other person all week long. In verses 6 through 8, Jesus explains that he will not go to Jerusalem with his brothers. He tells them that they are not hated, but he is hated for revealing evil. And then he tells them to go on ahead of him. Jesus knew the time wasn't there with his brothers. He knew the timing of God because he is God. He wasn't going to Jerusalem as a pilgrim like the rest of the people. He was going to Jerusalem as a prophet, a prophetic voice, and he would not back down. He would speak the truth in love in spite of the consequences. Jesus, you see, was a man of integrity, and he would speak only at the perfect time. So in verse 10, Jesus went quietly and alone. The text says in secret. I can imagine Jesus disguised by an additional head covering, but we don't know. In Jerusalem, Jesus would be hated to the point of the leaders wanting to kill him. In order to be able to speak the truth, he had to move quietly because he had to get there. The religious leaders waited, and they began to grumble. Where is he? And the people began to gossip. He's a good man. No, he's evil. And the gossip went on. But all of it was done in whispers for fear of the leaders hearing anything. If you are truly a Christian, the Lord will speak to you to occasionally call out evil behavior. And it will not make you popular. In fact, you will be hated for it. Your friends may disappear, not wanting to hear the truth. And others may agree with your assessment, but they may still not stand with you against evil. In fact, you may have to be a single, solitary person standing against evil in the world around you. Jesus openly spoke about evil and wrongdoing. God is light, and he brings light to all manner of evil and to darkness. Now, if you're in a dark room and it has no windows, it's completely black inside, and you slip on a light switch, what happens? The room lights up and you can see, right? When we allow Jesus to speak light into our lives, all of our dark behavior will suddenly be awash in his light. And it will be revealed to us. And as we follow him and as we read his word further and further throughout our life, he begins to reveal to us evil behavior. And at that moment of light, our eyes are open and the scales that were created by Satan begin to fall off. We then see where we need to be in Jesus. Pastor Richard Papafeo says it this way regarding how we expose sin to the world and the people we love. And he was pretty blunt. He said, "Beloved, you are breaking their kingdom. You are exposing them. You are depopulating hell. And you are, in fact, making them too aware of how close their time will be to be thrown into the eternal fire." Come on, baby. My grandson's crawling to me. You were making life unbearable for them. You were tormenting them. You were not making them sleep or rest. And no matter how hard they try, they cannot beat you, because he that is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We said that over and over and over again in the jails. He that is in you is greater than he who is in the world. No matter what your temptation is when you get out of jail, he who is in you is greater. And you can overcome that because he is greater. As we carry him in our heart, we can overcome anything. Anything. If we are hated, it's because they hated Jesus first. We cannot have the love and recognition of people as our first priority. Why? Because it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. I don't think there's any of us that don't enjoy being liked. We all want to be liked. We all want to be loved. We all want other people to care about us. But the reality is that it's Jesus in our life who matters, and Jesus in theirs as well. There's nothing else in our life that matters as much, because no one thing here on earth is going to do what Jesus can do. And that is to determine our eternal life. There is not one person, whether it's somebody you love or somebody you don't love, there's no person on this earth who can determine your eternal life except Jesus Christ. Ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, we've lived in an environment that was not God's original design for us. It was supposed to be perfect. 74-degree days, even here in Arizona. Relationships that always thrived. People that loved unconditionally. Fellowship with all, with no distancing, social or otherwise. And then enters sin, and we're never satisfied. We're restless and we're hungry for something we can't obtain. And we read these verses and we put down the brothers of Jesus. Shame on them for not seeing Jesus as who he was. And we put down those religious leaders. Shame on them for following religion instead of a relationship with Jesus. For not opening their hearts to the true heart of the written word, to see Jesus as God's Son, the Messiah. But how about us? We're diverted today by a lack of self-examination. Nobody ever wants to look at their own heart. Our own heart is full of materialism and legalism and sensationalism, and we want miracles and signs, but we don't want to be inconvenienced for church fellowship. We don't want pastors who point out an ungodly lifestyle to us. We don't want mentors who call us out on our personal flaws. That hurts. Cars today, or most of them anyway, are built to run on gas. If you put anything else inside the gas tank, what happens? Not good. It's chaos. Our souls and our spirits are made to run on Jesus and Jesus himself. We need to consume him. That's why communion is so important. It's one more avenue where Jesus brings himself to us. We do as he commanded, and we take his body and blood into us for the forgiveness of our sins. We commune also as we read his word. He comes alive as he speaks life into us. Brothers and sisters, if you're using Jesus as an add-on to your week, it is time for us to repent. If you're not standing as a Christian for what is right and speaking out for what is wrong, it is time for us to repent. If you're blind to things that are happening in daily life that are tearing our society apart, such as drugs, immoral lifestyles, murdering babies, allowing sinful people to influence our behavior, it is time for us to repent. I believe more than ever that pastors especially are being called to stop being popular people. There's a mess out there. And we are being called to call it out. We're being called to stop saying what itching ears want to hear. Rather, we are being called to speak the truth in love, but not to accept behavior that is immoral. We're being called to lovingly correct sin, being open and honest with people. Pastors are judged each and every week by parishioners or people in the internet. Believe it or not, even here at Amazing Grace, we receive letters in the mail that say, your church should have closed earlier due to COVID. Your church should not have closed due to COVID. You should not be addressing that issue. That's a societal issue. It's not a religious issue. You should not be talking about that. And here's what I say to that. Garbage. We are called to speak the truth and be the light right here where we are. Our little church can be an influence in our community, and it's called to be. That's what Jesus would expect of us. And not just pastors, but every Christian in the house. So can you get hot for Jesus? Or are you too busy being popular? Are you too busy saying what your friends want to hear? Are you busy leading your own life and throwing Jesus an occasional Wednesday or Sunday? Then read that verse that we started with. If you are neither hot nor cold, if you cannot speak the truth, if you cannot stand with me today, then I will spit you out of my mouth. This is a harsh reality. I don't want to get to my deathbed and have Jesus say, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Pastor Clark Tanner said, to the believing, Jesus is quick to let them see the truth, to open the eyes of their understanding in order to take them deeper in and higher up. But be warned, unbeliever, God does not ignore deliberate unbelief. He makes you blinder and deafer as time goes on. Are we like those who Isaiah prophesied about? For the heart of this people has become dull, with ears that can scarcely hear, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their heart, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return. And here's the best part. And I would heal them. No earthly relationship is of any use in the kingdom of heaven. We are called by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you are here today, it's not an accident. Whether you're here as a member or a visitor, whether you believe or you don't believe, you have been called to this moment in time to hear the truth and to respond on your knees and ask God to heal you, and especially at this moment to heal our land. My concordance for this text said that we can be grateful when our lives are going well, but we have to be sure that it's not at the cost of following Jesus half-heartedly or not at all. Going back to the beginning, ask yourself if you're a person of integrity, a person of honesty, a person who is whole or complete, morally and ethically. Do you work hard and earn an honest living? Do you represent Jesus wholeheartedly in your daily life? Or will he say on Judgment Day that you were neither hot nor cold, simply a Christian in name only, simply one going through the motions? I'm going to end with a quote from one of my favorite pastors. His name is Francis Chan, and he recently moved to Hong Kong to witness to people there. And I'd invite you to watch his whole message because it's very powerful. He's on YouTube, and he has a couple messages. One is his last sermon to America, and the other one is about being sold out for Jesus. Here's what he said. Our God spoke, and the whole world appeared. And he says, I want a relationship with you. I want to know you so badly that I'm going to let people torture me so that I pay for everything that you've ever done, everything you've done wrong, because I want you that badly. We should all have that reaction and the excitement of Zacchaeus when he sat up in that tree so that he could see Jesus, because remember, he was a little guy. And he crawled up in that tree because he was so excited. And there was something that was calling him. He wanted to see who this Jesus guy was. And as Jesus passed, he said, Zacchaeus, come out of that tree. I'm going to dine with you today. He was so excited when he knew that Jesus was going to spend time with him. He was anything but lukewarm. The Creator of the universe wants to be your best friend. So where is our inexpressible joy? We should be exuding it everywhere we go. People should see a smile on our face. People should see a representative of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I don't always do that very well. So let's wait no longer and hesitate no more. It's time to get into overdrive and make our lifestyles reflect the integrity to all who meet us. It's time to show how excited we are about our Savior. No matter how the election turns out, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care if you're for Biden or for Trump, however the election turns out, it is the way our sovereign God has it all figured out already. He knows when the end is, and He knows what's going to happen in between then and now. He's got it figured out. It's time to show how excited we are about our Savior and to show that excitement to a world who desperately, desperately needs to know who Jesus Christ is. Amen.